Stand for all the hymns, okay?
The lights are on and everything. After Tuesday. He's in Memphis till Tuesday. Is that right? After Tuesday?
Yeah. If you call, leave a message, and he's not here, just leave a message on his machine, and he'll call you back at the appointment. Ms. Sherry, you just look like you want to say something. Go ahead. Thank you. Okay, any prayer requests? Pray support. Prayer requests, pray support. I'm going to be come this day to learn about what God expects of us.
Sometimes we really don't know what God wants. We are afraid to make the commitments God seeks.
God is persistent. God will not let us off the hook so easily.
But we have failed so many times in the past. How can we possibly serve now?
Open your hearts to receive forgiveness and healing. Listen to God. Be ready to work with God for hope, peace, justice, and love.
Be with us, Lord. Help us to turn around to see you, to serve you, to witness to your love. Amen.
And the sorrow. we're singing about, the writer of Hebrews mentioned it. Let's pray. Lord God, sometimes the march is difficult. But we remember from your word, Lord, how difficult it was for your children to travel from Egypt to Israel. Lord God, they stumbled again. You kept picking them up and sent them on the right path. And Moses became angry and he was so frustrated. He kept calming him. Lord, as we travel to Easter, but before that, to the crucifixion, your sacrifice for us. Lord, we just thank you that as we stumble, you pick us up. You shake us off. You set us down and encourage us to go forward. Even command that we go forward. But we don't have to do it alone, Lord. Send your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You empower us. Lord, thank you that you forgive our wrongdoings, our mistakes, our failures, and put us on this path again. Thank you that we can be in the march, that you called us, we have heard your call, you have redeemed us. Through our faith in your Son, Jesus the Christ. As we have gathered this day, we just thank you for your presence right here in our midst, right now. And we pray in the name of Jesus, as praying as he taught you to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread,
and
forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I believe in
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the
faithful God. We are blessed with gifts to use for others, but we want to keep them for ourselves. We easily notice the mistakes of those around us, but do not want to look in the mirror at our lives. We turn our desires into idols, so we do not have to recognize how they can damage us. Forgive us, steadfast God. Fill the poverty of our spirits with the richness of your grace. Feed our selfish hunger with the bread of compassion for the world. Pour the living waters of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, into our hearts until they overflow with love.
Broken. God's grace is a gift which will not be taken back.
come to the Lord's table. Is it not? You know, it is not saying that he was above all that faithful Friday that we are approaching. We call it Good Friday. As a youngster, I kept saying, what was so good about it? They killed Jesus. But it was good for us. He was willing to be killed for us. That faithful Friday, he didn't think that he was above all, but then came Sunday. And today we celebrate Jesus, who is above all. And as we remember his death, let us also remember Sunday came. He arose. Hallelujah, he arose. Then he, after walking on earth 40 days, the records show, he ascended to heaven with the promise to come back to gather his faithful ones together, his trusting ones, and take us to heaven, where we won't worry about things this way, where we won't grow tired, where we won't have to run from this spot to the next spot. Make sure you're on time, etc. Holy Communion, first Sunday of the month, tradition to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Holy Communion is one of the two sacraments of the Protestant Church and other churches that we're not even around here, the protestations. Holy Communion and baptism. Two sacraments. The Roman Catholic Church that the Protestants protested against, they celebrate seven sacraments. The Protestant Church calls all but two of these ordinances or practices, I believe. They, in addition to baptism and Holy Communion of the Lord's Supper, confirmation. Sacrament in their tradition. Matrimony or marriage is a sacrament. Orders are the rite of ordination of priests and others. The ceremony of admission to the priesthood or the ministry. And then the steps of grace of ministry. Then penance. That's a sacrament. And then extreme unction. That doesn't mean much to me, except that the priest anoints and prays for one in danger of death. So it means a lot if you're the one, if we call it on the death there. But the Protestant Church calls these ordinances, as we still practice ordination of people to particular office. We still go and pray for the sick and the dying. We still pray at weddings and do weddings in the name of God. We still teach and set people apart as they express their faith in Jesus Christ. But to us, they are ordinances and communion and baptism are our sacraments. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is a sign or a testimony of God's covenant of grace. God's covenant of grace. The Old Testament, there were two sacraments. We understand that there were circumcision and celebrating the Passover. Baptism read about Jesus commanding that people go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. We call that the Great Commission. Maybe more, he commissioned the disciples to do that, but it was also a command. He said it with all authority in heaven and in earth. But today let's think about the Lord's Supper. Mark speaks of it, records Jesus instituting it, Mark 14, Luke chapter 22, I believe it is, and then Matthew chapter 26, that Paul picked it up and wrote to the Corinthian Christians about how to do it right. They, pretty evident, they were not observing the Lord's Supper in a correct manner. Mark 14, 22 says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is, take it, this is my body. He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. Then he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. The Lord's Supper. There are numerous names attached to the observance of the Lord's Supper, and I've used these before, but let me go through them again. We refer to it as Holy Communion. We refer to it as the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord instituted it, we do it in remembrance of Him. We refer to it as the Last Supper because it was the Last Supper He celebrated with His disciples before His death. We refer to it as the Eucharist, but we don't use that word, but it's a Greek word. If we were reading Greek, we would find it a Greek word for Thanksgiving. And it's referred to as Thanksgiving. Communion is referred to as the Thanksgiving. I believe this is the NIV. Then the Catholic Church refers to the observance of Holy Communion as Mass. They say they're going to Mass. And then we just refer to it as communion, communing with the Lord. And I believe it's in, not sure which version of the Scripture, but the translation of Thanksgiving in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 is it's just not the communion that we observe, the communion of the body of Christ. I believe it's NIV would change that word to thanksgiving. And others just refer to it in other versions, translated just the breaking of bread. You might do a research on that word. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. See how many different ways the translators have translated that verse. And then the old fellows that I observed or dealt with years and years ago, it would be 90 or 100 plus now, and they would refer to it as the sacrament. The verb, the sacrament. They would say the sacrament. And then years ago, the church would have sacramental meetings where they would have a revival meeting as such, protracted meeting, a series of services, and then somewhere along the way, maybe at the end of that service, they would baptize all that came to believe and wanted to unite with the church, and then they would observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus on the night of his betrayal. It is the means by which the church remembers and shows forth or proclaims Christ's passion and death on the cross. humility and a grateful awareness of Christ's presence among us. He has said, I'll be with you whenever you need. And I believe he is especially with us when we be before his face. It's been a practice all of my life to observe solemn expression on most every face. We are so very respectful. That's good. Because it's a solemn occasion. Christ died. And also there's the joy. It was for us that we might be forgiven of sins and have eternal life. The sacrament, the Lord's Supper, a means of spiritual growth, having been nourished. It nourishes us spiritually. And there's some symbolism. Bread nourishes the body. Fruit of the vine refreshes the body. And through the nourishment of the bread and the wine. Think of Christ Jesus nourishing us, our spirit, our religious side, if you will. Maybe that's a bad choice of words. All persons who are part of the covenant community and are committed to the Christian life are invited and encouraged to receive the sacrament. All believers in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who are trusting in Him. And then there's a statement in our confession of faith that says each congregation should celebrate the sacrament regularly. Each Christian should receive it frequently. Well, in my lifetime, I've wondered what is regularly and what is frequently. And some churches, you may observe, Christian year, Advent, Epiphany, or Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Passover, Pentecost, and on the first Sunday of each of these, or maybe in the case of Lent, on Wednesday night, Ash Wednesday, it was observed. That would be regular if you did that regularly. This church practices once a month, but Monday, Thursday, and Christmas Eve, we've done that regularly for as long as I can remember. I think before I arrived on the scene. And then at other times also, we observe the sacrament celebrated Ash Wednesday here in this sanctuary. I grew up in a church. We participated or observed once a quarter. That seemed like such a long time to go between remembering Christ's gift for us. Some churches observe every Sunday. Every Sunday they observe the Lord's Supper, and our excuse is to do it regularly, that often, it will become common and less meaningful. I hope it don't. But we've justify our once a month observance by saying that it might become very common, or it's something that, how I sing the song, that, you know, really singing the song ought to have special spiritual meaning, a Christian song. What is frequent? Is it weekly? Is it monthly? Is it the first Sunday of a season? It's the first Sunday of a quarter, etc., etc.